Welcome back to the JX. I'm Mike Green. We've gotten used to checking the air quality index when smoke from wildfires hang in the air. If the numbers get into the unhealthy range, we may limit our activities. But what are the limits for our children? Researchers at the University of Oregon experimented with various graphics to help adults better assess the air quality risks for children. We've invited a couple of them to the JX to learn more. Catherine Slavik led the team that's designed new infographics communicating smoke risks to kids, and she joins me now on the JX. Welcome, Catherine. Is it Catherine or Kathy?
It's both, technically, but I usually go by Kathy.
Also joining the conversation is Ellen Peters, director of UO's Center for Science Communication Research. Welcome, Ellen.
Thanks, Mike. Nice to be here.
So it's Ellen and Kathy or Ellen and Catherine? Help me out.
Yeah. Ellen and Kathy is great.
Okay. That's fantastic. Now, I have to confess, I have two young athletes at home, and we're always checking the air quality index before soccer and football practice. So which one of you bright idea was this?
I guess it was my idea. I'm happy to hear that you check the AQI. Certainly that is something that we want parents to do, and that was kind of a big push behind this research, was exploring, you know, how can we make sure to motivate more parents, especially during wildfires.
Okay, well, can you give us some background behind the methodology? Now, I understand you work with a bunch of parents in your experiment. What was that like?
Yeah, so we recruited just over 2,000 parents to participate in what was an online survey and experiment. And so we used two panel providers to help us kind of reach these parents. And they were parents that lived all across the western coast of the U.S. and Canada. So we're talking about British Columbia and Canada, as well as Washington, Oregon, and California.
Now, how did you get 2,000 parents to participate?
Well, we were fortunate that we were working with two panel providers that have these cohorts of parents that are in their kind of databases. They can reach out to them anytime there's a study that they want folks to participate in. So we didn't actually handle any of that sort of recruitment. We were fortunate to work with two companies that we were able to kind of offload that on.
So, Kathy, what's your specific role on the team that designed these new infographics?
So we were interested in kind of experimentally testing different infographics that are already widely used. So these were infographics that we adapted slightly for the purposes of our experiment, but they were based off of infographics that are used by Canadian agencies as well as U.S. agencies. And so we were really interested in testing, you know, do infographics that contain sort of the familiar U.S. AQI index, that index that goes from 0 to 500, compared to a different kind of index that's used in Canada that is quite similar in terms of risk communication purposes, but it's different in that it uses much smaller numbers. It's an index that goes from 1 to 10 plus. And so we're interested in comparing, well, how do these two indices communicate risk perhaps a little bit differently? And also, does it make a difference when we present these indices with different types of visuals kind of embedded with the index?
Well, let's talk about these health risks between kids and adults. Ellen, help me understand, what's the concern?
Yeah, so, this kind of wildfire smoke is dangerous for all of us. Wildfire smoke contains a bunch of different compounds that are hazardous to health. In particular, there's what's called a fine particulate matter. It's called PM2.5. But there's also carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxides, methane, trace metals. So there's a variety of chemicals that are there in the wildfire smoke. And so when we breathe in wildfire smoke, we also breathe in all of that junk in the air. And so for children in particular, it happens to be particularly hard on them. So children they spend more time outdoors than adults do. But they also, I mean, surprisingly to me, they actually breathe a little faster and they take in more air relative to their body weight. And this is at a time when their lungs are still kind of developing and maturing. So you can imagine they're breathing faster, and what they're breathing in wildfire smoke is all of that junk in the air. And so it ends up being dangerous for them.
And so what's the impact over time for young people if they're outdoors a lot and breathing in those particulates?
So they can end up, I mean, it's actually similar to adults, but even more so. So with kids in particular, they can experience more, they can end up having to go to the emergency room more often because of respiratory difficulties. They can get more respiratory infections during wildfire events compared to older children and compared to adults. There's just sort of a variety of things that can happen. And in fact, even with pregnant women, it can affect the children. They can end up with more pregnant women who breathe in a lot of wildfire smoke. It means that their babies inside them are also doing that in a sense. And so they're more likely to have preterm birth, and the infants are more likely to have smaller birth weights.
Oh, I didn't even think about the pregnant part. I'm talking with Catherine Slavik and Ellen Peters, two members of a team of researchers from the University of Oregon who developed an air quality index graphic more suitable to assessing the risk for kids. You can join us at jx@jeffnet.org. Kathy, can you describe the difference between your AQI graphic for kids and all these other adult AQI measures?
Yeah, so the index itself is similar in that, we use the same AQI to communicate for all populations, right? Folks who log into AirNow or into Purple Air or into their weather apps, they're seeing the same kind of AQI graphic, whether they're a parent, whether they're a senior citizen. And so this is actually kind of potentially part of the problem. We were really interested in seeing, well, how do these graphics kind of, especially for parents, how can we use them to make them understand better and to hopefully help inspire actions that might be able to reduce the smoke exposure among their kids? And so we tested the US AQI compared to this Canadian AQHI, which uses smaller numbers. And what we were surprised to see was that the index with the smaller numbers, so this AQHI that's used in Canada, was the one that was actually appeared to motivate parents to want to take smoke safe actions more than the US AQI. And these actions, vary. They could be something like keeping windows and doors closed when there's a lot of smoke outside, or using an air purifier. So actions like this, and these are actions that we know can be really effective for reducing the exposure to smoke among children and among the population at large.
Well, I know I get used to my routines, and when we check the AQI, we're looking for, is it above 100? Is it less than 100? I have a terrible time figuring out how to translate yards to meters, so I know I'm not going to be able to translate the AQI for adults and the AQI risk for kids. Can you give me a shorthand? Help me understand, if the AQI is under 100, or let's say the AQI is over 100, how does that translate in your scale?
Yeah, so when the AQI is actually at a 50, it is considered, based on the U.S. AQI scale, to be in a moderate risk zone.
Okay.
Now, what we know based on kind of emerging evidence, smoke in the air, there is actually some risk that is posed to children, particularly young children, right? So we're talking about perhaps increased rates of asthma, emergency room visits, as Ellen alluded to, respiratory issues like this. And currently the guidance is that when the AQI reaches above 100, so that next kind of step on the scale, which is called the unhealthy for sensitive groups kind of risk level, that's typically when the AQI starts to kind of publish health messaging that would suggest, okay, it might be advisable for folks to spend a bit less time outside, perhaps doing less strenuous activity outside. But what we were kind of interested in with this research was exploring, well, knowing that actually the risk is a little bit lower than that 100, so we're talking more closer to the 50 to 100 AQI, knowing that that's really where we might want to start nudging parents to consider taking protective actions. how can we communicate risks using this AQI to hopefully illuminate the fact that that risk zone is also an infection-worthy zone.
And Ellen, I'm not sure what happened to Kathy. I think we lost her, but she's
there. I think she might be having trouble with her. Might be having trouble with her signal.
Ellen, how would you recommend your infographic best be used? I mean, should it be a refrigerator magnet hung on the wall next to a calendar? How should we best use this infographic?
Yeah, you know, actually the idea of a refrigerator magnet is a great one, just to remind people, you know, you want to be paying attention to this. You want to be checking what the AQ, what the AQI level is on any one day. And it kind of reminds people, you know, you have sort of this idea that maybe over 100 is where you want to be starting to keep the kids indoors or at least take protective action. Kathy was actually suggesting it's really that the emerging evidence is more that it's maybe down closer to 50. And so even like if you have a refrigerator magnet on your refrigerator, thinking about taking protective action for your kids more in kind of a level down from where you were talking about, more in that, 50 and above kind of level.
Well, your work is all about translating science to a general public. So is the science getting better at this work? Is the public understanding better about this over time?
You know, that's always a hope. I think it depends on what area of science you're looking at. I think that, a lot of what I study is how people cope with numbers out in the world, because people tend to get very nervous about numbers when they see them. And in fact, about a third of working age adults in the U.S. Are so innumerate that they can't really function very effectively in health and financial environments in the way that numbers are presented right now. But what's interesting is that, like with the AQI, AQHI, people prefer getting numbers, and they actually trust messages that have numbers in them more than messages without. And so the solution that we need to be going for, and again, some areas of science communication have done it better than others, but the solution is, how can we make numbers easy to digest and make them meaningful to people so that people can actually rely on them? And what's done really nicely with both the AQI and AQHI is that they do give numbers, but they also give an interpretive label. They tell you whether it's moderate risk or high risk. And so they're trying to make those numbers more meaningful. The results of our study suggest that there is one more way maybe to make the numbers a little more digestible, which is to show them in smaller units. So instead of using the 0 to 500 scale, instead use that Canadian scale that shows things in smaller units from like 1 up to like 10 or 11. And having those numbers having those smaller numbers is just easier for people to digest. I should note though, Mike, we've done one study on this. And we're scientists, and we know that one study is not something that you want to make huge policy changes on. What you want to do is you want to notice that. You want to say, oh my gosh, there might be this better way to do it. We need to do more research and make sure that we're right. And that'll be some of the next steps that Kathy and I will be doing, along with other people, hopefully.
Well, that makes sense. That means you have to get that AQI graphic out into the public. So how can we get it?
I would say it's not quite time to get it out into the public now because we've only done the one study. Instead, what I'd want to see are more studies being done where we're making sure it really is beneficial to the public before we go to the huge expense of rolling it out across the United States. But you're right. Once we do a few more experiments trying to make sure that we're actually right about this, then you want to make sure that you're doing, you're putting it out to the public, and you're monitoring what happens to make sure that people really are noticing it more. They are maybe remembering the numbers a little bit better because small numbers are easier to remember than larger numbers. But more important than that, that maybe parents are actually taking actions at those levels of risks that are more dangerous for their children than perhaps it is for them themselves.
Well, we're running out of time, but ideally, Ellen, what would you like to see as an outcome of your research and the development of this practical tool?
I would like to see kids be healthier, and I'd like to see parents using that AQI or AQHI to help it. And for right now, I would say kind of think about those lower levels of risk for times when your children might be at a little more risk than you thought.
Well, that's fantastic. Thanks for the time. I appreciate all this information. That's all we have for this segment of the JX. Thank you, Catherine Slavik, and thank you, Ellen Peters. I learned quite a bit.
Oh, and thank you so much. Really appreciated having the opportunity to talk with you.